Thanks, Helen, and also good morning, everyone. We had a vote on this slide. I wanted to talk about GAAP, include a few accounting definitions as the accountant on the panel, but I lost the vote 4-1. So in summary, working capital is the short-term assets and liabilities that are part of the normal operating cycle of the business. It's the inventory that gets consumed, is the cash that gets collected, it's the accounts receivable that occur when something is sold. And then in addition to those short-term assets and liabilities, there is a set of accounting accruals, deferred revenue, prepaid expenses, that ends up in the working capital bucket as well. For agreements, it's a little different, right? Some stuff gets cut in and out, and Peter, I think you were going to talk about that.
Sure. And so, look, a lot of these things are pretty customary. Some of them kind of vary based on the particular target or the particular deal. One issue that comes up a lot, and we even have a slide, we're going to talk about it later, so I'll just hit it quickly, is deferred revenue. But, you know, you back out cash typically. You back out debt because the current portion would be a current liability. And then there's just other certain adjustments that you make. Usually, you know, somebody like Vince will be doing the Q of E and will tell us, well, you know, a lot of these items are really debt-like, and so they should really be purchase price, kind of dollar one adjustments, and not be part of working capital. One that you sometimes see people talk about is if the company has a high amount of accrued vacation that's unusual, or the bonuses are really high, they'll say, well, look, we're not using that to set the target. That should really be an adustment. And so typically those are payroll, those are a current liability, but those are some of the discussions that you have.
Yeah, so let's touch on that. So John, you said the whole purpose of purchase price was, a purchase price adjustment was to lock in value. And Peter, you touched on the target, which is kind of the key and how the working capital is basically adjusted off of some bogey that people agree to. So how do you pick that bogey? How do you guys actually figure out what the target ought to be?
Yeah, it's like any business point in a purchase agreement. It's all negotiation, and particularly in times of market disruption like we see now, it can be really challenging to set that bogey. I have a client right now that they're a manufacturer of large material handling systems. So they buy a lot of steel. And if you've been following the steel markets, you know that the price of steel has gone up and the availability of steel has gone way down. So what this client has done is to really secure their supply of steel, they made a huge bulk purchase to really lock in that that steel. So what that did was created a level of inventory that they've never seen before, so quite high. And now when you have that, what is truly the amount of net working capital you need to run the business is debatable at that point. And that's where it really becomes a negotiation, and where you end up on that really depends on the amount of negotiating leverage you have. In this particular case, a few weeks ago, we were evaluating two letters of intent. They had very similar enterprise values, so they, from that perspective, very comparable. One of the letters of intent had proposed just a 12-month average to come up with that peg.
A trailing 12-month?
Trailing 12-month average, yeah. And which is pretty customary. And then another one said, hey, we want that peg to be set at the current level of net working capital, which is at the all-time high. So when we compared those two letters of intent and adjusted it based on the proposed peg, one of them was about 10% higher. The 12-month average was actually 10% higher of an enterprise value. So a much, much easier decision for my client to go with that group. So there's no right or wrong answer. I think it's a negotiation.
John, I guess maybe I wish I had you with me when we set the target yesterday on a deal that we're working on. We had pretty much the same issue, although slightly different. Because of high commodity prices, which our client is the company is the beneficiary of, their working capital is sky high right now. And And they're not really interested in having to deliver that as a closing condition. Not to mention that they feel like they're giving a, you know, a windfall to the buyer because it's, you know, unseasonably high. You know, the buyer is a little uncomfortable. Well, this has been going on for a long time now. You know, we don't think that even a 12-month, you know, is appropriate because you're just picking up too much market disruption, and so it gets kind of challenging. And in this case, you know, we're talking real money. We're talking millions of dollars in this situation. Like most deals, they just, I think, split the baby just to get to rough justice. And so we got to a number that both sides were okay with. And as I was telling the group here, they actually set the target yesterday.
And is that what you're finding is mostly rough justice? Like, for example, if you have kind of, you're in the manufacturing sector and you have supply shortages, or, you know, you're not, your output is greatly reduced because of chips, are you basically just splitting the baby? Is that what you guys are finding?
I do. I mean, it depends on, you know, how competitive it is. In yeah. John's case, it may have been different. You know, we've been under LOI forever with this one buyer, and so you know.
Yeah, we found it in this market, it's really become a seller's market. So I typically work on the sell side, and I've found that I've had more success on really pushing that target quite low in this market. So that's, again, it's all about the amount of leverage you have as the attorney or the investment banker.